All right. Chapter 44, The Perils of Hypnosis. This is Selected Messages, Volume 2, page 349, if you have the book. And if you're listening on the phone, thank you for listening, by the way. Sabbath blessings to you. All right. The main headline or the main title is The Perils of Hypnosis, and then the subheading is A Warning to Physicians Employing Hypnotic Methods. And she says, Brother and Sister N, in the name of the Lord, I ask you to remember that unless your sentiments regarding the science of mid-cure, or mind-cure rather, are changed, unless you both understand that you are in decided need of having your own minds converted and transformed, you will be stumbling blocks, pitiful spectacles to angels and to men. Now, let me switch glasses here. I'm tripping over words. I think these are the good ones. I got so many glasses around here. Okay. Yeah, they seem like they're pretty good. All right, and then she goes on to say that the truth has had but little influence over you. It is dangerous for anyone, no matter how good a man he is, to endeavor to influence another human mind to come under the control of his mind. Oh, and by the way, did you see that article I put on the site the other day about scientists have finally figured this out? Well, kind of figured that's where they were headed anyway when we saw those video games coming out where all you need is your mind. They did have the video games first, where you can use your mind to move things on the screen, but you have to wear this certain kind of hat. And then they did the same thing with a smaller hat, where you can make a ball go up and down in a tube just using your mind. Well, I put an article on the site the other day where the scientists have figured out a way to move a rat, make a rat do something just by telling it to, with your mind, like making the rat's arm move. You make your arm move, the rat will make his arm move, in other words. And they're going so far as to predict that within as little as 5 years, I'm thinking, if I remember correctly, that they'll be able to do this human to human. Now, think of the implications of that. All right, and I'm not talking, there's nothing good that can come out of this. I mean, people say, well, what about the paralyzed people? Well, paralyzed, you're still not going to move that arm. If a person is paralyzed from the neck down, let's say, and another person comes up and messes with his brain, tells him to move his arm, it's not going to move because the spinal cord's been cut. You don't have Wi-Fi capabilities in your brain. So, but anyway, you do have frequencies, of course, that can be manipulated. And so, but the implications of this is insane. Could you imagine a paid assassin with this well-trained ability to use his mind to force his will on an innocent bystander? I mean, he's just walking down the road. He sees his target. He knows he has to kill that person to make his money, because it's always about money. And he puts the weapon, somehow gets you and puts the weapon in your hand and forces you to pull the trigger. It forces you just by, or not even has to put a weapon in your hand. Just like you're driving down the road, and the guy's walking down the road, and then he's driving alongside you, or even worse yet, he's in the car with you, and he forces you to drive and hit the other person with your car. And then he runs away to escape detection, and you're the one who committed the murder, so you're the one who goes to jail. A life is destroyed, completely put behind bars for the rest of their lives for a crime that they did commit, but didn't want to in any way, shape, or form. They were forced against their will. Kind of like some of the things that we saw happening in, nowadays. I mean, they have been using mind control over the years. I mean, the Nazis invented this method years ago, and even Simon and Garfunkel sang about it in their song, The Sounds of Silence. And so, because they had a mind control issue on them when they were young, and so they sang about it. And so there was all these weird things that have happened, and people have been, like, there's evidence that Lee Harvey Oswald, and, well, actually, there's evidence he didn't even do it, but he was conned into things. But Timothy McVeigh and all these other guys, there's a lot of strange things that are going on where these guys are, manipulated. And so now they've got a more perfected way of doing so. And so how do you protect yourself from such an attack like that, as I was saying on the article on the site? The only way to do that is to be a Christian. Our Heavenly Father won't allow that to happen. And even if He did, because of 1 Corinthians 10:13, it's because we can handle it, and He needs us, let's say, to be in jail, or to be in front of a magistrate to share our faith. Whatever the case may be, trust him no matter where he puts you, okay? I mean, John the Baptist understood that, and so did all the apostles. Anyway, like I said, the only way to protect yourself from such an attack as that is, of course, to be a real Christian, an obedient Christian with a hedge of angels around you. In today's world, with everything that you see happening all around you now, everything from drones to GPS devices on your cell phone to, you know, they could turn your microphone on your phone even if you turn your phone off because the battery's still connected. And now, and this is why they're starting to sell cell phones now where you can't get the battery out of them. You know, you can't swap them out. You can't turn it off. You can turn it off, but you can't really turn it off, if you know what I mean. And, but with everything that's going on around us, I mean, like the Big Brother thing of, you know, Orwell back in the 80s, it's obvious we are in the extreme last days, and we better, like if we're really striving out of that perfection, we better be serious about it. Because now they're going back. I mean, the hypnosis thing was bad enough that what Sister White's talking about now, they still use that to this day. But the thing with hypnosis is you can't force someone to do something they wouldn't ordinarily do anyway. But with this other type of mind control, who knows? You know? So anyway, she goes on to say, let me tell you that the mind cure is a satanic science. And what she's getting at here is, I remember this being popular in the 80s and 90s, especially when I was in sales. And some of the guys that I was hanging with in the sales had a hard time quitting smoking. And they wanted to quit smoking. And so they would go to a hypnotist. And the guy would give them a post-hypnotic suggestion, I guess, and, you know, try this instead. Instead of every time you want to light up a cigarette, you know, snap your fingers or chew gum, I don't know, whatever. And they were, you know, they would tell you, oh, it works, you got to try it. I says, yeah, not even at gunpoint. I know all about hypnosis. My dad was able to do it. He never did it on any of us, but he did study it when he was a young man. Didn't know how, well, he's Catholic, so they don't tell you anything in the Catholic Church. But, so it was, you know, I never wanted anything to do with it because I saw, because, you know, when I was a young man, I used to hang in the bars, and I've been to many comedy nights where they had hypnotists there. And I saw people do things that, no thanks. They always said, why don't you go up to London? No thanks. Because I don't know if I could be hypnotized or not. Don't know, never tried it, never will. But I wouldn't want to go up there barking like a dog. You know, it's ridiculous. If they have that kind of control over people, man, that's scary. And so anyway, she goes on to say, already you have gone far enough in it to endanger seriously your future experience. From its very first entrance into your mind until the present time, it has been a most injurious growth. Unless you can see that Satan is the mastermind who has devised this science, it will not be so easy a matter as you suppose to separate from it root and branch. I mean, in other words, there's still going to be little aspects of it there in his life, for probably to the day he dies, is what she's saying, because it's always there in the back of your mind. You can do this, you can do that, you know? You can do like mass hypnosis, kind of like what I've got a list of in my one video where, which video is it? Where I talk about the neuro-linguistic programming that Seventh-day Adventist pastors are using right now. That's worse than mesmerism. That is mass hypnosis. That's NLP for short. And I've got a list, and I put it on the screen, and I have a link. You can go to sdaapostasy.org and look at the list. And I couldn't believe it. I thought it was an old list. After I put it up there and I put the video up, I got emails from people saying, I can't believe it, my pastor's name's on that list. I says, well, believe it. And just watch him. If you don't, I was, okay, fine, my pastor's name's on the list, let's say. So now watch the guy. I mean, it's not just in the voice inflections. I mean, and not just like the, like raising the voice up and then kind of talking softly and stuff like, you know, that way it makes you zoom in on him and say, okay, what's he saying? You know, kind of, it's the hand movements. It's the movement back and forth on the stage. Fran caught that right off the one time. I couldn't believe what we were talking about. And he says, yeah, look at the way the guy's going back and forth on the stage. It's kind of like the hypnotist with the watch, you know, just making it go back and forth and back and forth right in front of you. I says, the guy is hypnotizing the whole crowd. And these are Seventh-day Adventist pastors doing this now. It's a satanic art of witchcraft. And they're using it in the churches. Why? Keeps the people in the pews. So she goes on to say, the whole philosophy of the science is a masterpiece of satanic deception. For your souls, for your soul's sake, cut loose from everything of this order. And then let me switch pages here. And then she says, every time you put into the mind of another person ideas concerning the science that you may gain control of his mind, you are on Satan's ground, decidedly cooperating with him. For your soul's sake, break loose from the snare of the enemy, from this snare of the enemy. And it's not just hypnotism either. I like the way she puts this. You're decidedly cooperating with him. Okay, like I was talking about earlier, some of the lies that are going out, people make lies up because they can't find anything that we're doing wrong. So they'll make lies about what we're doing. And we know the prophecy says some of us are going to end up behind bars for things we never did, right? And so, yeah, you're going to get people out there that are going to lie. But it's really sad when it's people that used to be part of your number doing this, right? But what they don't realize is, I don't care how small or how big the lie is, it's a lie. That's the language of hell. That is the vernacular, the native tongue of Satan. He's the father of lies. And so a little white lie to a whopper, you're cooperating, decidedly cooperating with Satan when you use lies. And I can't understand how people that used to be part of, and actually put lies in print for everyone to see. And this is what's so sad, and this is why I read Proverbs 29. When you think about this, okay, the people that are under these people read their newsletter and see these lies in there that you know are lies, because some of these people know me pretty good, and yet you stay in the church. Why? Well, if the ruler's wicked, the people that are under him are going to be just as wicked. There's nothing you can do. You can, you know, it kind of like closes the case in regards to who do you pray for and who do you worry about and who do you want to help. I mean, we know what Titus 3:10 says, right? So anyway, she goes on to say, neither one of you should study the science in which you have been interested. To study the science is to pluck the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God forbids you or any other mortal to learn or to teach such a science. The fact that you have had anything to do with this science ought alone to be sufficient to show you, Brother N, the inconsistency of your being the leading physician in the sanitarium. In dealing, oh, that's scary, thinking about that, he's the leading physician and he's doing this. Anyway, she goes on, in dealing with the science of the mind cure, you have been eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God has forbidden you to touch. It is now high time for you to begin to look to Jesus, and by beholding his character, become changed into the divine likeness. Cut away from yourselves everything that savors of hypnotism, the science by which satanic agencies work. So there you have it. So yeah, she does bring it up that it's satanic. But mostly the people that when I was a teenager, used to hang with, you know, I knew a lot of witches, and they all delved at it or claimed to do it, but never saw any of them do it. Never even saw my dad do it, as a matter of fact. He just said he could do it. But anyway, this next section is titled Counsel Regarding the Publishing of Books on Hypnotism. So hold on a second, let me get some water. And it says, oops, hold on. Okay, it says, shall its managers consent to be the agents of Satan by publishing books dealing with the subject of hypnotism? Shall this leprosy be introduced into the office? Satan and his agents have been and are working diligently. Will God give his blessing to the publishing houses if they accept the deceptions of the enemy? Shall the institutions, that's another thing. Will God give his blessing to the publishing houses if they accept the deceptions of the enemy? And see, that's why when you see, like what I was talking about earlier, publishing lies, then you know, okay, it's over. They have made a decision, they're following Satan, they're going to use his tools. And so, and I know for a fact that my God will not bless anything that they publish, anything. And so we're okay now. God's people will be perfectly, as long as you stay obedient, though. You got to stay obedient. Otherwise, you may as well just jump out of the pan and go right in the fire. Anyway, she says, Satan and his agents have been and are working diligently. Will God give his blessing to the public houses if they accept the deceptions of the enemy? Shall the institutions which have been kept before the people as holy unto the Lord, become schools in which the workers eat the fruit of the forbidden tree of knowledge? Shall we encourage Satan in his stealthy entrance? Yeah, in his stealthy entrance into the citadel of truth to deposit his hellish science as he did in Eden? Are the men at the heart of the work who cannot distinguish between truth and error? Are they men who cannot see the terrible consequences of giving influence to wrong? And see, this is why we have to separate, and this is why the shaking occurred the way it did. And still is occurring all around the world, of course. I mean, Revelation 18 is going to keep on, you know, Revelation 18 verses 1 to 5 is going to keep on bringing them out of those churches until plague number one hits, of course. That's when it's over. That's when the censer drops, and whoever's unjust is going to stay that way. And whoever's holy is going to stay that way too, though. So praise the Lord for that. And so this is why, you know, especially in our case, like when certain people that used to be part of our number and some that even claimed to be kind of like in leadership, when the others were kind of, you know, because they were elders, I mean, older people. And when they left, the blessings were becoming apparent because now Achan left the camp. You know, it was still praying, of course, for some of them to come back, of course, but they're going to have, you know, there's going to have to be some amazing fruits. But the Lord cannot bless when, well, like we were saying here a minute ago in regards to the publishing, if it's going to have to be exactly the way the Lord says it has to be. So anything like with this hypnotism thing, any inkling whatsoever of trying to go into the direction that the devil would have you go is just crazy. It's just, why be in a Christian ministry then? If you want to do that kind of stuff, become, you know, work at a gambling casino or something, or in a bar, or you know, a lot of weird places you can work. But anyway, she says, if you should gain millions of dollars by work of this kind, of what value is this gain when compared with the terrible loss that is incurred by giving publicity to Satan's lies, by making it possible for the world to say that books containing errors were published at the Seventh-day Adventist Publishing House to be scattered broadcast to the world. And this is why we're having such a difficult time, by the way, with people that claim to be Seventh-day Remnant, and they're going out there. And now we're not suing anybody. We're never gonna. We just tell them, please don't use our name, especially when you're publishing things, if you don't agree with the theology we preach. Some people say, we're going to do it anyway. Well, fine. We'll just tell people, if they ask us, are you part of our number? And we'll say, no, they are not. And this is why. Because they are not on the path of truth. They are in open sin in this area, or they're open sin in that area, or their theology is whacked, or their doctrines are wrong, and or they're joining with Satan firsthand. And that makes it, we don't have to sue. Our Lord will take care of this. And it's just as bad as like what Sister White was going through in her day. You know, because at that time, the Seventh-day Adventist Church was the ninth hour movement. It was blessed of God. And here you got infiltrators going to try to use Satan's tools under the same name of the church. And that's going to make us look bad. We've lost people in our church family, by the way, because they think we're still associated with some people that used to be associated with us. Because if you Google my name online, someone else's name has a tendency to pop up next to it. And so people think we're still associated with them, and we're not. We had to do what the Bible said. We have to walk away. And this is what she's going through in her day. Same exact thing. It's amazing how this is all... I mean, there's amazing parallels to what we're going through happened exactly like it happened in her day, too, especially what happened a year and a half ago. Almost word for word, same thing happened. And it was actually two ministers involved, too, then, back in her day. But anyway, I don't want to go back on all that. She says, awake and realize that your presses have published the devil's lies. Let the men who know the truth act like wise men, placing the whole weight of their influence on the side of truth and righteousness. And then this next section, I'm going to hold on a second here. Okay, what happened there? I just tried to copy it. Oh, okay, there we go. Let me just do a notepad thing. iPad. There we go. All right. Okay, next section is titled Sciences Pertaining to the Mind. And she says, in these days, when skepticism and infidelity so often appear in a scientific garb, it should be garb. There's a lot of typos in here. I don't know if you ever noticed that. But thanks, David. It says grab. We need to be guarded on every hand. Through this means, our great adversary is deceiving thousands and leading them captive according to his will. The advantage he takes of the sciences which pertain to the human mind, is tremendous. Here, serpent-like, he imperceptibly creeps in to corrupt the work of God. And this is what we didn't even realize was happening to us over the years. There's so many of us right now, I'd say the majority of us in this church, and I mean the overwhelming majority of us in this church right now, strive on to that perfection, and we're seeking to do the best we can for the Lord and get the work to go forward. But there were some people that were part of our number that had slithered in, like, you know, this guy did with the serpent-like abilities of Satan, and the church was just held back. It was just not going anywhere. We could never get, we could get next to, you know, it was slow. It was really bad. But when Achan left, the blessing just exploded, and now there's a lot of Seventh-day Remnant people now all around the world. Thousands now, from what I'm understanding, especially in Europe. In the Philippines, the Philippines, I think we got, you know, hundreds, but as far as I know. I don't know exactly the numbers there. But anyway, she goes on to say, hold on a second. Ooh, wow, we've had a few people register for the room. TD Vines, anyone else that came in that have names that aren't like real names? If you can re-register, if you can't re-register, like if you only got the one email address, just send me an email and I'll change your name for you if you'd like. But we prefer to have first names, real first names in here. That stops problems because we've had people attack the church for years. And we're not saying that you're going to do that, but we're just saying that we prefer to have real first names so that people are less apt to, do bad things when their real name's out there in front. So anyway, but welcome. Anyway, it says, this entering in of Satan through the sciences is well devised. Through the channel of phrenology, physiology, and mesmerism, he comes more directly to the people of this generation and works with that power which is to characterize his efforts near the close of probation. And boy, is he doing it now. Okay, thanks, TD, thanks. But if you can't do it because of if you only got one email address, just let me know, and I will change it for you. Not a problem. All right. So, okay. And then she says, the minds of thousands have thus been poisoned and led into infidelity. While it is believed that one human mind so wonderfully affects another, Satan, who is ready to press every advantage, insinuates himself and works on the right hand and on the left. And while those who are devoted to these sciences laud them to the heavens because of the great good works which they affirm are wrought by them, they little know what a power for evil they are cherishing. But it is a power which will yet work with all signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. And anybody that's seen a hypnotist work, like I used to do when I was a young man, in the bars and stuff like that, this stuff's evil. It's just bone evil. So anyway, she says, mark the influence of these sciences, dear reader, for the conflict between Christ and Satan is not yet ended. And this is one of the reasons the TVs went digital. And no, I'm not... and by the way, you know how you always tell people, that guy needs to get himself some tinfoil, you know, put it on his head. He's one of those guys that wear tinfoil or the tinfoil bonnet or whatever. Nowadays, it ain't such a bad idea to think about getting that because... like I said, with the mind control that they're using now in science, because they've already tested this and it actually works, and they showed this, I think there's a video about it on YouTube, where our government can actually, it's kind of like, if I don't know if you've seen those, I don't know. I don't think you can. Yeah, speakers. Yeah, it's a speaker. Directional speakers. You can literally point the speaker at somebody, and only he can hear it. Now, if he walks to the left or walks to the right, then he can't hear nothing. It's a directional speaker. It only goes in one, and it can be extremely loud. But unless it's directly pointed at you, you can't hear it. Well, they could do that on a different frequency. And they did this in the, what's that one strait or whatever, I guess, that's by Iran, where they kind of like, our guys are out there in aircraft carriers, and you got some of these Iranian little tugboats going around, and they're trying to tell them, get out of here, get out of here. But they don't understand English, right? And so they had, and they didn't have, well, yeah, and it's, yeah, one of those boats, it was a fishing boat, I think. I don't know what phrenology is. Anyway, one of them was a fishing boat, and he didn't have a radio. And so our military, our Navy guys or whatever, they spoke to the guy in his brain. I kid you not, this I put this online, I don't know how long ago, where they spoke to the guy using this new technology where they just pointed it at the boat and they were able to speak it. They jumped out of the boat. They got so scared. They thought they were possessed or something. Well, our government's been doing this for over a decade, I think, at least. And they've got billboards. I put this article on the site, too. They got a billboard. Well, it's not so much a billboard. It's a painted side of a building. And it's like a 10 or 15-story building. And the whole side of the side, or the whole side of the building has got this advertisement on it, right? And it's got this bridge that you walk over when you're heading towards the city. It's kind of like the Loop, where it's got a lot of areas that you can walk around. So as you're walking, you get this one spot on the bridge, and for 5 feet, you hear someone talking to you. But no one's there. It's just talking to you from... Now, this is just a directional speaker. This isn't right into the brain, but it's advertising the billboard. And... So these sciences, they've really perfected them in our day. And again, like I was saying earlier, if you're not a Christian, you're sitting, you know, it's like a sitting duck. You're in a heap of trouble out there. So praise the Lord for that hedge of angels. Anyway, she says, neglect of prayer leads men to rely on their own strength and opens the door to temptation. In many cases, the imagination is captivated by scientific research and men are flattered through the consciousness of their own powers. And she says, the sciences which treat of the human mind... Yeah, which treat of the human mind are very much exalted. What? Which treat of the human mind are very much exalted. Oh, the grammar's kind of messed up there. Anyway, she says they are good in their place, but they are seized upon by Satan as his powerful agents to deceive and destroy souls. And we see that all the time. I mean, they come up with an invention, like some guy that's honest and good, and he's decided to, he invented something, and it's a wonderful invention, and it does do good things, but our government uses it in an evil way. I mean, but you could do that with just about anything. I mean, they invented a knife so you can, you know, with a serrated edge on it, so you can cut food better or whatever, right? Well, it also kills better too, right? So they always come up and take whatever good is out there and just use it for evil. But she says, his arts are accepted as from heaven, and he thus receives the worship which suits him well. The world, which is supposed to be benefited so much by phrenology and animal magnetism, never was so corrupt as now. Through these sciences, virtue is destroyed, and the foundations of spiritualism are laid. Now let's look up phrenology here, and unless you guys have already defined it. Let's see... Is that what John and Mary just put in there? Let me go to dictionary or freedictionary.com. Put it in here. Let's see how you say it, first of all, because I think phrenology looks like it's the right way to say it.
Phrenology.
What?
Phrenology.
Let's see how they say it in Britain.
Phrenology.
They always sound, you know, so much better than we do. Anyway, it says, the study of the shape of the protuberances of the skull. Oh, yeah, okay, bump reading. I remember, yeah, this came, well, I remember in the 70s when they started, hey, let me feel your head. And they go, you know, you're going to have this happen, this happen. Oh, you're going to look at all the bumps, so I'm going to go and fall down the stairs and I'll make millions, right? Because, you know, right after I fall down the stairs, I got this big knot, and I go over to you, and you do this chronology thing on my head, and then you predict I'm going to be a millionaire. Okay. But anyway, it says the study of the shape of the protuberances of the skull based on how discredited belief, based on the now discredited belief that they reveal character and mental capacity. Which means if you got a bump, that means your brain's a little bigger in that area. Now, the brain's always the same. It's not going to move into vacancies in your skull. But that's why it says it's now discredited. But, yeah, bumps. Yeah, exactly. I remember. Yeah, so so-called psychics were doing the bump thing. And I'm not talking about the dance from the disco, doing the bump. But this day, they were rubbing people's heads and stuff, and people were in the 70s. I mean, they already knew it was, most people thought it was a joke, but it's just like with today. You get out there, and like when it comes to Christianity, for example, I got an email the other day, and it's not the first one, I don't think, on the Rome and alcohol video that I put on the site a week or two ago. And this guy's been a Christian, you know, many years, and he sent me an email, says, you know, I never knew those verses were in the Bible. I never knew that drunkards are not allowed in heaven because it was never preached in his church. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10 never made it to the pulpit because the preacher was a drinker, right? He's the one who had to explain it. It's just like all those other verses that talk about there really is no seven-year trib or there's no secret rapture, and when you die, you're not even snoring. No dreaming, nothing. You're not even like a spirit disembodied hanging around in some cloud strumming a harp. But there's a whole mess of verses they will not preach from certain churches or pulpits because the pastor does not believe those. It's not what he preaches. And we found out recently, too, by the way, some guy finally admitted it in Texas that one of the guys had like his voice disguised and his face was blacked out and stuff like that, and saying, yeah, I've been an atheist for years, but I'm not quitting his job. I'm the pastor of a very lucrative church. There's a lot of pastors out there that are atheists, and they're doing it. They're preaching because there's money to be made. You get up there and use, because I mean, think about it. How easy it is now to be a pastor in these fallen churches where people don't really want to know the truth. They don't really want to know that that's sinful or that's sinful or that's sinful. In other words, it's like the prophecy said, preach smooth things unto us, right? I mean, Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 is all about today. All these people out there are just trying to be, you know, as, you know, moral as they can appear. They don't want any of that morality in their hearts, especially when the doors are closed and the lights are down low. But they want to be able to be called Christians to take away their shame. But yeah, and when you get people like that, they're not going to come into the church and go, you know, I'm not getting fed here. You know, this guy's not preaching anything that I want to hear. He's just a motivational speaker. That's all he is. He gets like Joel Osteen. He's a motivational speaker. The minute you step out of the church, you're back to your humdrum lives. You have no real power in anything that he's preaching because none of it's from the Word. And so these guys know this. Now, these kind of guys, they come out of seminary, and it's all about the career. It's not the calling with them, it's the career. And they try to step in. Let's say they wanted to come into our church. Like one of these guys did, by the way, recently, that's now part of the church that likes to attack us. He wanted to be considered an elder and a pastor, and no one's ever even heard him preach. I says, you can't, no, you got to have fruits. The people got to know you. They got, you know, and he got very upset. And this is how it is out there. They can't come into this kind of a church and expect the people to continue to come to church to hear what he has to say unless he's speaking truth. If you're coming up there with these, because a lot of these sermons, you can get them off the internet. There are websites out there with canned sermons where you can literally copy a sermon and just doctor it up a little bit and make it your own. It's unbelievable how many websites are out there. And these guys use these things on a regular basis. And they come out there and they preach what they think the people want to hear. And these people want to hear, the people that come to those churches, yeah, they want to hear that they're okay. They want to hear that they're going to heaven. They want to hear that it's okay to do the bad things that they're doing. But a minute a real Christian walks into that church and says, man, I ain't getting nothing out of this guy. All he's telling me is it's cookie cutter. It's churchianity. It's not Christianity. They can't make it in real churches because they're not real Christians. And so anyway, she goes on the next section. Hold on, let me get some water. Yeah, preachertainment. Amen to that, Craig. Yeah, and amen, Thomas. When they get the 501c3, Even if they wanted to preach certain things that we do, they can't. Because you can't speak political statements from your pulpit. Well, you know, I'm just telling everybody the Pope's the Antichrist. Well, yeah, well, the Pope's also, you know, sovereign state, Vatican City. You know, he's a political leader, so you got to shut up. You can't talk about him. Otherwise, we'll take away your 501c3 status, and you'll owe us millions of dollars in back taxes and excise taxes and penalties. So they clam up. That's what they did with all sorts of SDA pastors, all of them, actually. You know, unless they're being used like the Jesuits like to do, where they'll preach our message to get the people in, like guys like Walter Beath. And I'm not saying he's a Jesuit, but he is 501c3. So, I mean, you know, how do you preach our message and have a 501c3 at the same time? Well, that's when, I mean, I'm just going by common sense. If this guy really understood prophecy, how did he miss the most basic one about creating an image of the beast? I mean, the only way to get a 501c3 is to join your church with the state, just like the Vatican. In other words, you're making your church an image of the Vatican Church. You are making an image of the beast in your church. If he's a real prophetic understanding type of preacher where he knows all the prophecies just without memorizing or canning the stuff that he could just do like Galel Doss does at World Last Chance. He can get up there and read our stuff, put it on his website, draw the people in, and then tell them a bunch of falderall once they're there. And that's how they get them. They preach our message to get them in, and then once they got them, they got them. But the thing is, I mean, that 501c3 is very, very telling. You know, if they miss that, then they shouldn't be anywhere near a pulpit when it comes to talking prophecy. I mean, I can understand some of the guys that didn't catch it right off. You know, and then they try to get out of it. But when you're preaching prophecy, and that's your main thing, prophecy, I don't know, man. Makes about as much sense as a penny to me. Anyway, she goes on, and this next section is titled, How to Be Preserved from Deceptive Influences. And it says, Satan often finds a powerful agency for evil in the power which one human mind is capable of exerting on another human mind. This influence is so seductive that the person who is being molded by it is often unconscious of its power. God has bidden me speak warning against this evil, that his servants may not come under the deceptive power of Satan. The enemy is a master worker, and if God's people are not constantly led by the Spirit of God, they will be snared and taken again. If God's people are not constantly led by the Spirit of God, they will be snared and taken. There you heard it from a prophet, Ellen White, right? In other words, read your Bible daily and pray daily. You got to stay as close to God as you can, be an obedient Christian, and that way you'll have that hedge of angels around you and the Holy Spirit will be upon you. They can't get to you. I mean, even the demons can't get in your home. They might look through your windows and try to scare you a little bit, but that's about as far as it's going to go. And for those of us that used to have problems with manifestations in our past, you know what I'm talking about. But the fact of the matter is, you got a hedge of angels around you, you're about as safe as anybody can be on this planet. Even if you were to take a nap in the dirt, you're still blessed of God, because you're going to get up with that better resurrection. So she goes on. For thousands of years, Satan has been experimenting upon the properties of the human mind, and he has learned to know it well. By his subtle workings in these last days, he is linking the human mind with his own, imbuing it with his thoughts, and he is doing this work in so deceptive a manner that those who accept his guidance know not that they are being led by him at his will. Kind of reminds me of Ozzy Osbourne theology. And the only reason I call it that is because Ozzy Osbourne literally said in one of the magazines that I used to read when I was a teenager that he can use God and he can use Satan. In other words, when I want to do good things, I'll use God's spirit. And when I want to do evil things, I'll use the spirit of Satan. Ozzy, both is going to be from Satan. You may think you're using the spirit of God to do good things, but No, that is not God. The devil, he'll quote scripture better than any preacher I know, but he's not God. But if you don't read scripture, you're not going to catch that, and so Ozzy believes the way he does. It's just like when I was a young kid. There were stupid things that I believed until I opened up the Bible, and it's just like with anybody else. You believe crazy things. I mean, especially when you were raised in a Catholic church like I was. And I believed that, you know, when I died, I wouldn't go to heaven right away. I'd be flying and floating around in like an ember on a flame in purgatory for a few billion years. Oh, yeah, that looks like I want to go to heaven. You know, that's Catholicism really makes our God look hateful. You know, it's just amazing. There's 1.2 billion people. But it is, on the other toss of the coin, it's not that amazing when you think about it, because you can drink, you can smoke, you can swear, you can go and watch X-rated flicks, you can, you know, well, the priests, you know what they do. And so they do anything they want, as long as you get to confession and tell some guy your sins. Because that's what I used to think. You know, you go to confession, you're all clean, squeaky clean, go out and, you know, start your sins all over again. You know, you can't confess your sins to a man. That's blasphemy. That's actually one of the signs of Antichrist. Anyway, she goes on to say, the great deceiver hopes so to confuse the minds of men and women that none but his voice will be heard. When Christ revealed to Peter the time of a trial and suffering that was just before him, and Peter replied, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee, in Matthew 16:22, the Savior commanded, get thee behind me, Satan, in Matthew 16:23, very next verse. Satan was speaking through Peter, making him act the part of the tempter. Satan's presence was unsuspected by Peter, but Christ could detect the presence of the deceiver, and in his rebuke to Peter, he addressed the real foe. And see, this is why it makes it a little bit easier for me to deal with keeping that smile on my face during the trial. Even if the ATF was on my front lawn looking, and I'm looking down the barrel of their gun, or they're pointing their guns at my children or my wife, I'm not angry at them. It's the enemy in them that I got a problem with. It's not them. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, it says in the scripture. We're fighting against the principalities and powers of the air. And so when you look at people that come against you, like even these people that used to be part of our number that come against us, we're not really angry with them. Shocked, I got to tell you. But that's about as far as it goes. It's the demons that are prodding them, and some of the demons are actually in some of these people that are doing the things that they do. That's the real foe. And that's why Jesus said what he said when he said what he said to Peter. So she goes on one occasion, speaking to the 12 and referring to Judas, Christ declared, one of you is a devil, in John 6:70. Often in the days of his earthly ministry, the Savior met his adversary in human form, when Satan, as an unclean spirit, took possession of men. And how many of us have run into that? I know I have. I know my wife has. We've run into people that were demonically possessed. You know, they were demon-possessed people. Sometimes you catch it right off the next. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you can hear like them singing to you, and that's hard to explain. Or you'll smell it. But other times, they'll just walk up to you. Well, 9 times out of 10, they won't walk up to you. As a matter of fact, Fran saw one of them run away. You know, the Holy Spirit in us scares the daylights out of these guys sometimes. They can't handle it. And so anyway, she goes on to say that Satan takes possession of the minds of men today. In my labors in the cause of God, I have again and again met those who have been thus possessed, and in the name of the Lord, I have rebuked the evil spirit. And we have done that as well, too. I remember the first time we did that was, I don't know if she was 8, 9, or 10, 11, a little girl, chasing her grandmother around the house with a butcher knife. And it got so bad that this little girl was acting out that her parents, this is when I was a Sunday keeper, and we were at Pastor Russ's church. I think we had just recently left that church, as a matter of fact. And they called us to come over. And that's when that singing thing happened. And but we laid hands on that little girl, and she drifted off to sleep, if I recall. And that was it. Never had another problem with them ever again, with that little girl, ever. And then we also saw that happen recently here in our church service, with the old chat software, of course, where someone was demon-possessed during a church service, and while I was preaching, well, actually, I just started teaching, I think it was a Friday night, and right as soon as we started, they were throwing all these things into the text chat, stop, 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 they, you know, and there was this woman who was, I guess, going a little berserk, and we asked them to lay hands on her, and we all prayed as a church family, that way no one gets a big old swelled head thinking it's me, or you, or, you know, it's just all of us together. It was Christ's hand moved. She drifted off to sleep, and from that day forward, she's been sharing Christ Jesus with everyone she meets. These demons are out there, people. They're out there, and they could be walking right up to you one day. Because just like an angel could take the form of a person, so can a demon. You know, he's an angel too. Fallen, but an angel nonetheless. She goes on, it is not by force that Satan takes possession of the human mind. While men sleep, the enemy sows tares in the church. While men are spiritually sleeping, the enemy accomplishes his work of iniquity. It is when his subject understandeth it not, in Matthew 13:19, that he catcheth away the good seed sown in the heart. When men and women are in this condition, when their spiritual life is not being constantly fed by the Spirit of God, Satan can imbue them with his spirit and lead them to work his works. And this is what happens. This is why we see sometimes people leaving our number. Because if you don't stay in the Word daily, if you don't stay on your knees as often as you can, at least three times a day. I mean, Daniel did it. David did it. You know, there's quite a few mentionings in the Word of God that morning, noon, and night, pray. I'm not saying, you know, you got to get, two or three hours of prayer. No, prayer doesn't have to be that long. As a matter of fact, I did a series on prayer and how the Lord likes to keep it short and sweet and to the point kind of a thing with him. He wants to know what's going on, yes, and he wants to be part of your day, and he loves the prayer without ceasing. I mean, that's what I like to have been doing it for decades. All day long, you just talk to him. Pray without ceasing. He's part of your day. He's there. He's like part of the family, if you will. He's there. And that's the best way to do it. You keep as close to him as you possibly can, and the enemy's souls can't get to you, but he's going to go after everybody around you if he can. You know, and so be prepared for that. And then tell your loved ones, hey, especially in these last days, if you don't think the devil's going to do everything he can when he sees you kicking back and you're not reading your Bible every day like you should, if you don't keep that fresh influence of the Holy Spirit, the unclean spirit is going to say, hey, I've gotten permission and he'll go for it. So, yeah. So going on. Okay, yeah. All right, it says, and I entreat that there may be a putting away from the life every action which does not bear the approval of God. We are drawing near to the close of Earth's history. The battle is growing daily more fierce. Amen and amen and amen. Oh, wow. I guess it kind of looked like it was going to end. So next chapter is chapter 45. And we're like 10 minutes to 11. I don't want to start another chapter. Because if we do, then we're going to have to end in the middle someplace. But boy, I got to tell you, this is amazing. And I so much thank my brothers and sisters in the Lord because we all agreed on this years ago. Friday nights, why don't we read Ellen White's writings? Because as much as I like her writings, I the Bible is, that's where I always found the truth. And she even says in her writings, if you read your Bibles properly, and you study the Word, you won't need her writings at all. I prefer Scripture. But I love her writings because I believe it's inspired like Scripture, because she is a prophet. We have already proven that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And this is why you won't find her writings in any Christian bookstore on the planet. Just like you won't find Daniel's writings in any Jewish bookstore on the planet, because they didn't like what Daniel was saying about what was going to happen to them at the end of the probation. And so they declared Daniel a false prophet, and they never show up anywhere in any of the Jewish bookstores or their Bibles. Well, same thing with Ellen White. Ellen White exposes the agenda of all the Protestant and Catholic churches of the world. And so you're not going to find her writings in any bookstores. But you go into any Christian bookstore and you'll see, Benny Hinn, Joel Osteen, Billy Graham, and Pat Robertson all on the same shelf, and Joyce Meyer, and Marilyn Hickey, and all these false teachers. Not once will you find Ellen White in there, because she's a threat. But that's not the only reason, to acknowledge her as who she is. I have a page on the site that, talks about her, and I also have a page that talks about some prophetic statements that she made that aren't found in Scripture that did happen after she died. And so, every sign, there's a page on the website as well about the keys to a true prophet, and then there's a whole mess of ways that you can test prophets using Scripture, and she's passed all of them. So, but anyway, hold on. For 1,000 years, what happens after that time? After the end of the 1,000 years, Susan, is I got a page on the website. It's all about the 1,000 years, what happens before, during, and after the 1,000 years. But after the 1,000 years, eternity begins on planet Earth. So for 1,000 years, we're going to be in heaven doing the work of the judgment up in, Orion and Nebula, where our Lord is, right now. And that's why the cloud's getting closer. I can't wait until Orion comes up above the horizon so I can get out there with that telescope. After the work of the judgment is over, the city of heaven starts to descend onto the earth. Right before we descend onto the earth in the city, Satan is allowed for a season to run around and tempt the people again, because the Lord resurrected everybody that didn't make it into heaven. And there's going to be, I would think, tens of billions, right? Because all of the wicked people, from Cain all the way up to Hitler, and then on, and then of course the people of today, like, you know, all of them. And today we've got, what, the majority of the 7 billion on the planet aren't going to make it. And so just this generation alone is going to see 7 billion people come up. And so then the city of heaven descends from above and lands on planet Earth. And, of course, Satan tempts them all and makes them think that he's all-powerful. And he brings up all these gigantic generals from the old days and the guys from Adam's day, you know, after before the flood of Noah, when mankind was over 16 feet tall and the women were around that height too. And, yes, we have documented evidence of that now. But they don't like to put that out there because it, you know, solidifies and verifies Scripture. You know, but I do have stuff about that on my creation evidences page on the website. A human bone that is so huge the guy had to be 16 feet tall. Anyway, and plus they got that thing that happened on the North Pole, but I don't want to get into that again. But yeah, anyway, so at the end of the 1,000 years, the city comes down. They surround the city because they want to get the tree of life, because the tree of life is pretty obvious. They will be able to live forever in sin. And so they surround the city, and the devil makes them think, and they all believe him because he's a superhuman. Well, he's not superhuman. He's supernatural. And most of them, especially in our generation, when he stood on planet Earth as Jesus, acting like Jesus, they've already been raptured by him into their hearts, making them think that he can do whatever he wants. And, you know, he heals all these people, all this other stuff, you know, or makes them think they're healed. And so, but then think about it, you got all these giant men of war. Like even in David's day, you had these guys that were really powerful men of war. Goliath and his brothers are going to be there too. Massive people. And so they're all going to think, yeah, we got no problem. We could take that city, not a problem. That's when the fire comes from below and from above, and that's it. And then Malachi, the book of Malachi says that we're going to walk on their ashes on that day. And they're going to be forever gone. And we just, and then the world is recreated. There's no more ocean. There's just rivers, lakes, and streams. And then we're going to be able to build our second home. We already got a mansion in the city, of course, that the Lord built. But now we can leave the city and go and build our own home with trained trees. If you want to build a log cabin, you don't even have to kill the trees. Just bend the trees in the shape of a house. Eventually, you'll have your house. I mean, hey, you in a hurry? You got a couple of trillion years to even think about it. So, yeah, you can build your own home and stuff like that. I have a page on the website called Heaven. And in there, I just share scripture that says some of the things we're going to be doing when we get there. It's amazing, the things that we're going to be doing when we get there. And yeah, and Goliath, he had four brothers. That's why David picked up 5 stones. When he picked up those 5 stones, he threw one at Goliath and killed him, of course, and he had the other 4 because he thought Goliath's brothers were going to come out of the woods or something. You know, that's what Ellen White reveals in her writings. But, well, let's see. Are the books open for all to see how the governments have done to keep his creation ready? I really don't know where you're coming from here. It says, are the books open for all to see how the governments have done, or what the governments have done to keep his rephrase that. But yeah, so that's what happens at the end of the 1,000 years. But during the 1,000 years, we're doing the work of the judgment. And the only, now this is my own personal opinion. I can't back it up with scripture or spirit of prophecy, but I think one of the reasons that we're going to be doing, we're going to have 1,000 years to do this work of judgment, is because it's not going to be easy for, let's say, if your son or your daughter, your brother, your sister, your mama, your dad, or your husband or wife doesn't make it there to heaven. And then you have to go through their books to vindicate Christ. You know, that's why the weeping is going to stop on that day. You're going to realize, yeah, Jesus did actually try everything he could to get my loved one to come to heaven, but they refused. And it always reminds me of that drunk that died on Skid Row after being on Skid Row 44 years. Let's do the math, okay? In order to get a meal, this drunk, this is from Pacific Garden Missions. I used to go to these places when I was a young Christian. I never went to Pacific Garden Missions, but I heard about this from that one Baptist preacher that I did, he had this ministry, a prison ministry that I did computer work for him for, programming and all that. But hold on, let me... Okay, so 44 times 365. That's 16,060 days he was on Skid Row drinking. And three times a day he would have to eat, so times three. That's 48,180 sermons. I am not kidding you. In order to get a meal, like at the Door of Hope, I remember when I used to go to that one. I mean, the guy that was sitting next to me was killed with a screwdriver. It's out crazy. I mean, inner city Chicago, bad news, right? And then you had to sit out there. Pastor Russ would go into the church. I'd sit out in the car and guard it because they'd come up and they'd steal the tires while you're in it, or try anyway. But you could not get a meal three times a day unless you listened to a preacher. But these preachers were only allowed to preach 10, 15 minutes tops because, you know, 30, 45 minutes every time. No. They, you know, only on Sundays, their Sabbath, that they would let them preach more, you know, up to 30. But anyway, he heard 48,180 sermons. And that's not counting preacher wannabes. Because I remember when Pastor West was going there and he was preaching, I wasn't allowed to get on the pulpit yet. And so I'm out there talking to the guys on the street. I'm out there talking to the guys in the pews. Right? So these guys heard a lot more than 48,180 sermons if they were on the street for, you know, 44 years. But yet, he died a drunk in the gutter. And so his mom, let's say his mom or his dad or his brother or his sister made it to heaven. And they have to read his book. And they're going to see that Jesus tried minimum 48,180 times to get him to listen. And it's not counting the minutes. So you go that times 15. If they only did 15-minute sermons, 722,700 minutes worth of listening to sermons. And that's without the preacher wannabes. Or the tracts that are handed him. Or the Christians that he meets on the streets that give him a buck. You know? And so we're going to have a lot of work to do when we're, you know, doing the work of the judgment to vindicate Christ. Because we already know he's glorified. We already know that he didn't do it. But it shows the character of Jesus how much he tried. Some of us don't realize how much he's doing for each and every single solitary one of us. Even if you've been a Christian 30 years, he's still extremely active through his Spirit, trying to get you onto that path that'll bring that perfection, that divine nature, that'll get you to a point where you'll be part of the Gideon band. So, anyway, let's see. If the people know what their governments are doing to manipulate the laws of nature and man, and his truth will be revealed, I believe that you have to come to know the full knowledge of the truth to be judged, good or evil. Well, yeah, you're going to have to come to know the... And that's going to, you know, like the 1,000 years, too, it's not so much going to be the point where we're going to have these brains that are big as all outdoors and we're going to understand a lot of stuff. No, we're going to grow just like the little kids. They're going to grow up like calves in the stall, it says in the book of Isaiah. And so we're going to have to grow into understanding as well. So it might take... And that's why I'm saying one of the main reasons I look at the 1,000 years, and I'm going just my own personal opinion, I know the reason for the 1,000 years. It's the Sabbath rest of the planet. Because the planet will be 7,000 years old when and that hits. And a day is like 1,000 years to our Father. And so this planet will have its, what they call, fallow. The planet goes into fallow. Like in the old Jewish days, all the farmers were not allowed to till their fields in year 7. Every 7th year, they allowed it to go fallow. Which means, they should do that today, by the way. If the farmers would have continued doing that, we would still have all the colloidal silver and all the colloidal gold that you need in your peaches or your bananas or your or any of your cabbages and carrots and any vegetables or fruits that they grow on the farms nowadays are so depleted from silver and gold, the necessary ingredients that we need to sustain life and heal our bodies. You know, that's why the food was so much better back in the days of like Moses and then beyond there after that, because they allowed the planet to rest for that whole year. And what happens during that year? Well, it's going to be rained on for the whole year. You're going to have birds flying over it and making, you know, going to the bathroom all over it. And then little bugs are in the soil and aerating it and dying and fertilizing it. I mean, by the time the year is over, you plant, boom, you know, you don't have to do any fertilizing or nothing. But the farmers don't do that. If you live in farm country like I do, every 6 to 7 years, what do you see out here? Big hills of lime on the edge of all these fields, because they're going to come out there with their tractors, the buckets, put them in their hoppers, and they just spray lime all over their fields because the soil is so depleted, they got to put some stuff back because they don't want to lose a buck. And so they make sure that they, you know, get it out there to do what they got to do. So, yeah. Amen. The Lord is definitely going to recreate. He's going to restore what Satan destroyed. And he comes in the time that mankind can kill the planet. And look what Fukushima's doing now. Tons of radioactive water. Tons of radioactive water are seeping now into the ocean as we speak. And that's why people are having issues in the West Coast. You know, and the infant death rate has skyrocketed right after, like a few months after Fukushima, because and the tsunami, because all that debris came on the West Coast. And I mean, look at the stats; they got them online, but they ain't going to show them in the mainstream media. But there's websites that show the stats where the death rate has skyrocketed for infants in the, on the West Coast because of the radioactive water and the atmosphere there. The whole planet now has been radiated. Because of, well, not just Fukushima, though. We've lit off, what, 18,000 nuclear warheads? I mean, that's just plain insanity. These so-called scientists. Was it 18,000 or 1,800? I can't remember what it was. But the fact is, every single solitary human on the planet right now is radiated. So is all the food you eat, everything. That's why the prophecy about the diseases is so easy to come true. Everybody's going to get, you know, there's going to be disease everywhere. And the chemtrails, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, amen to that. Money definitely is the root of all evil. If they can't, if they can make a buck, they'll go for it. They don't care. They'll destroy their own planet. This is how silly it is. Or even look at James chapter 5, verse 3, how they're storing their treasures for the last days. And it's just going to be a witness against them. I mean, some of these guys, they make so much money, they can't possibly spend it in their entire 10 lifetimes. I mean, look at Bill Gates. He can easily charge $5 for Microsoft Windows operating system. But no, he charges $200. You know, and because he can. And sure, he may pay his employees good, but he could pay them a lot more. I mean, it's just like with any company out there. Look at Walmart, for example. Walmart is infamous in how bad they treat their employees and how low they pay them. Walmart makes, like, what is it, $1.5 billion a day? It was 1.3, I think it was. I happened to see this on the news today. They were talking about, because some of these guys were saying on one of these news videos that Walmart's going to be going belly up soon because what they do here in the USA doesn't work in London. It doesn't work in Japan or China. The people out there ain't falling for that, falderall. You want to come out here, you're going to treat the people right. And so they can't fill their stores with employees. The people just won't work for them. And so they're having a hard time. Yeah, well, we'll definitely keep you in prayer there, Yaswanth, and Night Blind. I know all about that. My eyes ain't what they used to be. But anyway, for those of you listening on the phone, thank you for listening. I hope and pray that you were blessed. And for those of us that are here, if you can get on your knees, we're gonna pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for blessing us with an understanding and a desire to understand even more of that which is written. Thank you for blessing us in these gatherings with your Spirit and guiding us in every way possible, even when we go through these trials. And we thank you for teaching us how to go through the trials with the smiles so that we can grow and have our characters changed and get one step closer to that divine nature that prophecy says your Gideon band will have. And so we pray. We want to be part of that number. We want to glorify you. But if it is your will that we have to take a nap before you get here, that's okay too. We trust you. We know that it is your will that matters, not ours. And so use us, Father. Bless us and bless our faith. Thank you for blessing everyone that we prayed for a few moments ago and everybody that's on the prayer list. And thank you so much for forgiving us and cleansing us and having such long suffering. And blessing us with the latter rain and the faith that moves the mountains. And again, to the best of our ability, we uplift these prayers to you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen.